This is Wellbeing Well Said, the podcast with me, Sarah Maloof. Join me as I chat with fitness gurus, business owners, wellness experts, and other inspiring individuals as together we dive into what it means to live well. Hi, everyone. This episode is so special to me because I had the chance to sit down with one of my three siblings, my younger sister, Lizzie Dawes. She's always the little sister in my mind, but we're really only a little over 3 years apart. But we're super close, as I am with everyone in my family. I think we all have very unique and special relationships. And if you have sisters, my hope and prayer is that you feel a special connection to them as I do with mine. We're still going to try to, y'all help me if you know my sister Steph or my brother Logan, let's get them on next. But today's episode is with my sister Lizzie. Like I said, she is living in Nashville, Tennessee. She and I have a lot of similarities and a lot of differences, but we have a lot of love, which is most important. In today's episode, we go all over the place. We go from talking about sisterhood and the ups and downs, the benefits and the challenges of sisterhood. And then all of a sudden we're talking about reality TV. I literally was psychoanalyzing Chrishell from Selling Sunset. So stay tuned for that if you want. We're all over, but because we're so close and we're family, this really just sounds like a natural conversation that you'd have with someone you love over FaceTime or something like that. So I loved it. I hope you do as well. I do want to go ahead and apologize for some of the audio. I'm speaking on a mic. She is not. You can tell that with some of the volume issues, but it's not a big deal. It's not drastic. You just might have to turn up the notch a little bit when you listen to her speak, but that's on me for being so loud all the time, I guess. But anyway, Lizzie, I love you. Thank you for joining me. So follow Lizzie if you want. I linked her Instagram in the show notes, but you've probably, if you follow me, you've already seen her all over my page. But anyway, I'll stop rambling because this is a great episode and I want you all to stay to the very end. Without further ado, here is my sister, Lizzie Dawes. Okay. Hey, Liz, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Honestly, I'm really distracted looking at myself in this camera right now because my hair looks, it's so long. I look like I'm in a cult. Is that a thing? Like, I've always wondered, do you think that age, there's an appropriate hair length based on your age?
I think that was a thing in the early 2000s and the 90s because every mom would have that like short haircut, you know?
Yeah.
But honestly, I think it's really pretty when older women have long hair, personally.
So I don't look like a 31-year-old attempting to be 13?
No. I mean, unless like your hair is, you know, falling out or something, but you have really pretty thick hair. So I say you should go for it. I'm going to keep mine long as long as I can.
Pretty long hair. Thank you. So this is my sister. I actually only got her on the podcast so she would compliment me. No, but for real, this is Lizzie Dawes, my younger sister. So there's four of us and I have a feeling, well, three girls and then a boy. I'm the oldest and Lizzie's in the middle, youngest girl. And I always get a little bit nervous when I record with people I'm so close with. I mean, obviously your family, because there's such a strong chance of everything just becoming so chaotic and unhinged because we forget that we're recording for a podcast and we just act like we're FaceTiming. And if you know me and my sisters and you've ever been around us while we have conversations, they're all over the place. We talk really fast and we get really excited and worked up and we finish each other's sentences and we really have this superpower of just looking at each other and be like, yeah, like you don't even have to finish what you're saying. I know what you're thinking.
The telepathy that we have to remember, we have to actually speak what we're thinking and people won't be able to catch on to finish the sentences like we can to each other.
Right. And it's not even stuff that we should be able to finish each other's sentences. It's like, oh yeah, the Sunday school teacher we had in second grade who like blah, blah, blah. Like it's just always something so random, but that's a really fun part about a sister. That leads me into this. What would you say is the most rewarding and then also on the flip side, the most challenging part of sisterhood?
I think the most rewarding, which kind of sounds cliche, but honestly, is just having a built-in best friend.
No, Lizzie, it's literally what I was going to say. Exactly.
Well, you know, we, you know, growing up moved around a lot. We switched schools a lot. We just had each other really. And I mean, but it's funny how to this day we're 27, 31, and you're still legitimately like my best friends, like my siblings are. even though we don't live in the same city or state even right now, I don't know, you're always there for each other, and it's literally a built-in best friend for life. So
sweet. And I totally agree. And I think we have, our mom did a really good job at like not even giving us an option for that not to be the case, which yeah. I love. And I'm so grateful for, because we really, I mean, we bickered about stupid stuff, you know, like each other's wearing each other's clothes or like annoying each other, but literally we never went even through a phase where we had legitimate fights and like hated each other or pretend said we did or whatever. And I think our mom did a good job. And I know that she has a brother who she loves, but she never experienced a sisterhood. And so she, you know, really wanted that for us because it was always something she wanted, and she saw how special it could be. And that's exactly what I was going to say. I think it's so special and rewarding. On the flip side, what would you say, if any, because I can go first if you don't have one, is like the most challenging part of sisterhood?
I can think of things that you would think would be a challenge, but I don't think we've really experienced. Like, I know a lot of people have comparison to siblings and stuff, especially being so close in age, like all of us are. But I personally never really experienced that, I don't think, you know, mm-hmm. not bad or anything. Yeah, if you want to go first, I can't really think off the top of my head.
You don't have to even, you're right. We don't have a lot of challenges. The only thing I would say, and it's really more specific to being the big sister, being the oldest, is an unnecessary sense of like responsibility. Even though we're all adults and nobody needs me to parent or protect them or, you know, parent, I guess is the best way to say it. It's like something in me just always feels this need to like make sure everybody's okay and check on everybody. And, which is not necessarily a bad thing. I just have to, in my mind, kind of draw a line and be like, okay, listen, they're adults and they don't need you to fix them or be there for them all the time. When they do need you, they'll come to you and ask you for that, or they might not ask you and you could just support from afar. And it's hard to sometimes know when to step in. And it's like, not even in a particular situation, just in general, you want to be sure that everyone's okay. And that's the big sister in me for sure.
Yeah. And I guess since I'm the third sister, you know, there's a little brother Logan, but I kind of had y'all just there kind of looking out for me, like, mm-hmm. which I appreciated. I never thought of it as like overbearing or anything, but especially going to the same high school and college, I feel like it was great for me to be able to follow in y'all's footsteps and have people, you know me as little Dawes and already know who I was in a bit, even though we're all different. Obviously we have a lot of similarities. And so I kind of had some friends going into college just automatically because of y'all. So I don't know. I kind of got, I feel like the best part of that, since I had both of y'all to look out for me, but then I have Logan. So I understand the whole protecting in that sense, because I do feel like, even though he's not much younger than me, I still do feel like, I don't know, I want to make sure he's always okay and safe and everything, and he's a full grown adult as well.
Yeah, but he's definitely the baby. I mean, he's the only boy too, so he has four moms basically, more or less. Have you been, something you said just reminded me of something I said when watching the show. Have you been watching the Kardashians, the new series?
I watched the first episode, I think just the first one, maybe two, but I haven't really kept up with it, but I did watch the first one. And that always reminds me of y'all though. Like, whenever I was living in Birmingham, I literally watched it to feel closer to home, because I missed y'all, because it reminded me of like our relationship, honestly.
Who am I?
Huh?
Who am I?
You're Kim.
Oh my gosh, literally compliment. Again, I need to have you on more often, because you're just making my head so big right now. But no, I was watching it, and there's only four, because I'm pretty sure I've watched three. And I was watching with my friend Caroline, who lives down the street, and that's like a fun girls night thing that we do, because Matt does not care to keep up, but I do. And same thing, it's like something about, I mean, I know they have the Jenners, but just the Kardashian kids are three girls and a boy, and they're so family oriented and they love each other. And I was really complimenting Khloe, and say what you want about the Kardashians, I'm not saying they're perfect or like the best role models in every aspect of the sense or aspect of the word, but there are things that you can take out of like each one of them. They each have their own personality traits and characteristics that I do admire and relate to. Even if I don't admire all the characteristics, I can resonate with some of them. And the sisterhood one is obviously the biggest one. But Khloe, she just shows up for her sisters. It was the episode when Kim was on SNL, and she was genuinely so excited for her. And what you said about not feeling competitive or comparisonitis when it comes to the three of us specifically, it's like, you can choose. I think early on you can make a choice, and you're either going to choose to be competitive with each other and always want what the other person has or compare yourself in, you know, for better or for worse, or you can just choose to love that person. And part of loving someone is rooting them on and being happy when they're happy and sad when they're sad and really encouraging them. And it made me so happy to see how much she loved her sister. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is the kind of sister I want to be, the kind of person I want to be, who just shows up for the people I love and genuinely supports them wholeheartedly.
Yeah. And is excited for them, because you said like, you get to make a choice. Cause yeah, I mean, obviously I'm sure people have compared us from the outside, you know, and we do have a lot of different strengths and weaknesses, and we're different in a lot of ways. But yeah, I think I've looked at it more as like, what are your strengths and my weaknesses? I just kind of admire, and I try to look up to it and learn from it, you know, of how it can be better, you know, just different ways that you're better. Like you're, I don't know, just different things, you know, like more of a leader and just better at speaking and being outspoken and stuff. And, you know, we just learn from that, and I support it though. And I've just known that we have different strengths and weaknesses. And I just love that for us though. I think that we're all unique in our own way, but we are all very supportive of each other as well, which.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that if anyone is listening, and, you know, again, not to like toot our own horns, but we do have really good relationships with each other within our family. And I think that if anyone's listening and, you know, maybe you and your sibling don't think you'll ever necessarily be best friends, but you just want somehow some advice on strengthening that relationship, I think that the biggest thing I can say that I try to implement, and this goes back to me being the older sister and always wanting to kind of protect and hover, is like, let go of expectations and just love unconditionally. And that doesn't mean that you lose your values, or if they come to you for advice, you're not allowed to, like, of course you're supposed to stand up for what you believe in or voice your opinion when asked or all that. But I think just loving unconditionally, and even if it's from afar, sometimes people are just going to want to love you from afar. Praying for each other, and then just always being willing to listen, to understand, necessarily not just listening to respond, mm-hmm. I think is a good thing.
Yeah. And I think kind of what you said, loving from afar, we've had, you know, times in our lives where we've had to respect, maybe not agree with, but respect the other's decision. And just kind of like, especially I'm sure you being the oldest, watch me or, you know, Stephanie or someone make mistakes, and just kind of, you know, have to watch us and let us learn on our own sometimes, but you're always there for us, you know, even if maybe at the time I like don't want your opinion or something, you know, advice, but you know, like in the end, you're always there. And I know you're always there when I do end up wanting to come and, you know, ask for how you feel about the situation and stuff. So I think that just goes back to the just deep love that we have for each other. You know, we'll let each other figure stuff out on our own if we need to. That's how you grow. But we do know that we always have each other's backs no matter what.
So true. Okay. So you're the young sister. So you've always been the cool one and the trendy one and the fun one. What is something I mentioned that I've been watching the Kardashians? What's just something that either it can be super silly or going to be more serious? What's something that's been like on your mind, or something you've been really into, or a hobby you've recently picked up, a book you're reading, a show you're watching, a trend you're seeing, just something that's been front of mind for you lately?
This is really silly. The first thing that popped to my mind though was that TikTok dance I've been keep wanting to learn. And it's funny.
Is it Lizzo?
Yes, the Lizzo one.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
I'm old because I can't learn it. And like my roommates are younger, and it's just funny because I keep like every day thinking about that song, the dance, and I like wanting to learn it. And I'm like, that's what all the cool kids are doing. But I think I'm even getting older for the app because I can't learn that dance.
No, truly. I like found myself for 30 seconds attempting to learn it, and I was like, what, who do I think I am? This is mortifying. If I ever put this on public social media, my husband would divorce me immediately because it was nothing short of humiliating. No, but like, it's so fun to watch, and I like that song.
I do too. But like something about the TikTok dances is just different. Like I can't get it as quickly as a lot of these kids these days do. Like I just feel like I can't get it. But no, besides that, I mean, I've been really into all the new mini-sodes and stuff of like Hulu and HBO Max shows that have been coming out and everything.
Mini-sode?
Like a mini-series, I mean. Have you like heard of any of those, like Under the Banner of Heaven with Andrew Garfield?
No, of course I haven't. Of course I haven't, because I live under a rock and I don't watch TV. So, I mean, I've been watching The Kardashians, as in I've watched 3 episodes. Other than that, I'm literally watching Seinfeld reruns and nothing else. So,
that's a happy, that reminds me of growing up, because mom and dad always watched that late at night and stuff. No, I feel like honestly, a lot of times in my downtime, I'll be watching all those, because there's that one, there's The Staircase, there's The Girl from Plainville. I think a lot of them are true stories that they've made into like dramas, which are really, really cool to me. Cause you know, I've always loved the crime. Sarah knows this. Like, I'm really into true crime and all that stuff. So it's been been really into that always, but especially lately.
You know, what's really ironic right now is I'm obviously not going to answer, but Stephanie is calling me. So going back to to be fair, I did call her earlier today, but of course she would call right in the peak of us talking, because she probably knows in her gut somehow that we're speaking and she feels left out. No, many sids. No, I have not, but that's maybe something I should get into. I don't know. I just feel, I've tried to explain this to Matt, and I think I was trying to explain it to you. I'm one of those people who I don't do a good job at separating reality. Yeah, I was telling you this when I was in Nashville, like reality from television. Sometimes I take on the emotions too intensely and I get either so on edge or anxious or whatever emotion the show wants you to feel, but to an extreme, and then it stays with me. And then I'm thinking about it, and I'm someone who just like does better in my own reality, because trust me, I'm emotional enough on my own. And I just try to kind of work through my own stuff. And there really is, maybe I'll share. I have already shared it to my Instagram stories. Maybe I'll find it again tomorrow when this episode is out. But I saw Mona, I forget her full name, this girl on Instagram explaining that there's a literal science to that, because it's that brain heart connection and how you become what you think and you take those things on. And it makes sense. I mean, of course you absorb things and it becomes how you act, how you think, how you talk, all this stuff based on what you're watching or what you're surrounding yourself with.
Right. That's like your friends. You know, you always want, mm-hmm. you always want people can pull you up, and you don't want to be around negative people all the time. But sorry, my cat is going crazy. Where'd you go? But that's funny you say that, because the one show that everyone's into that I have had to like put on hold because I literally get so stressed out with it. Can you guess what I'm going to say?
Euphoria.
No, I like, well,
you love Euphoria.
But no, Selling Sunset, the big arguing, I don't like drama. You know, I don't like arguing. I don't like conflict. And it literally like gets my heart racing. And I'm like, just stop. I'm like, just calm down. And it gets me so worked up. I can't watch it all the time. So,
wait, did you finish it or no?
No, I had to like literally pause it just because they were always arguing, I felt like, and it stressed me out. And of course, for me though, it calms me down to watch like a crime show, which is weird, but I don't know. I guess that's just so real. It's supposed to be like, you know, real, like a reality show. And I just hate the bickering and stuff. I just really, I don't know. It stressed me out too much.
It's a lot. And it didn't used to be like that in the earlier seasons. It's escalated. Right. The drama has escalated so much. Obviously that's just the way reality TV goes. Is of course we like, don't even see real estate on the show anymore. Really. It's just the drama. I've been on this. It's funny you should bring up Selling Sunset. I have been psychoanalyzing Chrishell so much. Like I'm like going to put myself through some sort of PhD program and become a doctor of psychiatry, because I'm obsessed with thinking about the show and her. And I have a few friends who, if they listen to this, they know who they are, who I specifically go to with all my Selling Sunset thoughts, comments, remarks, and on a tangent, I think Chrishell is not okay. And this does not just have to do with her most recent relationship. It has to do with an accumulation of her past few relationships. It has to do with the fact that I'm worried about her physically because how much weight she's noticeably lost. It has to do with the fact that her Instagram stories don't even make sense half the time, because they're like, I don't even know what she's saying. It's like I feel like mentally she's struggling. I feel like more so emotionally, and no one asked for this advice, but you're getting it. No one asked for this, but I'm telling you my deep thoughts surrounding Chrishell from Selling Sunset. I have this theory that she, you know, her husband left her abruptly during season 1. And then shortly thereafter, she lost both her parents. Those are really traumatic things to go through no matter who you are. But then she's in the public eye and she's being talked about, compared. This is all
she couldn't really grieve or mourn those things in private. Mm-hmm. And she had to play this role. And so she fed into this role. And I, from the beginning, I didn't notice this at first, but when I go back, I think I would see this. And Christine, I mean, she's crazy too, but she said this from the beginning. I don't think Chrishell really ever knew who she was. I think she's someone who wants so badly to be liked and fit in. And she just clings to people who are nearby because it's like she's insecure on her own and she's kind of emotionally stunted. And I've seen like, okay, Jason's here and he's showing me attention. I'm going to date him. Like I did this music video with G Flip. I'm going to date her. Like, it's just, she kind of clings to people and I don't feel like anyone knows, including herself, who she really is. And I could go on and on, but I need to stop because this is not a Selling Sunset recap show. But if you want to talk about this further, any of the characters of Selling Sunset, I have theories surrounding all of their wellness habits or lack thereof.
Christine honestly has like the best head on her shoulders half the time. Even she's very bold and speaks her mind, but I do feel like she is pretty true to herself though. Usually, you know, she's not one to like, she has a backbone unlike a lot of them in my opinion. But I think Chrishell, I don't know, people are really, I'm like getting obsessed with her because I think a lot of people can relate to that though in their lives. A lot of times not really knowing exactly who you are, especially, you know, in your 20s, early adulthood, it's hard to figure out who you are and everything. And I think it would be so hard to have to be in the public eye while trying to figure that out and going through all this trauma like she did. And yeah, I think it's sad, honestly. And I hope she figures it out.
No, it is sad, but wait, do you think that she's in her 20s?
No, she's like 30 something. Right?
She's 40.
Oh, she's 40.
Yeah.
She was like 35.
Okay. Maybe. Okay. I was just making sure. I mean, like she is beautiful, but I was like, no. Which kind of makes it even more sad. It's like, okay. I mean, I don't know. She kind of, and they all do to an extent, but she especially gives me a lot of high school vibes. And, that's what I meant when I feel like when I said she's kind of emotionally stunted. And, you know, she started coming on the scene. She's been acting and in this world for many years now. I don't know how many. So she was younger. So it would make sense that she's still kind of emotionally stunted back wherever, whatever age she was when she first came on the scene.
Which would be her really early adulthood, probably.
Yeah, probably 20s. I don't know when she started exactly, but that's a side tangent. Okay. We could go on, and it's really fun to talk about pop culture and all of this, but let's do a fun little thing that you and I both posted about on Instagram. Some of my favorite podcasts do, and of course this goes back to the days of print. I know it was really popular in a lot of newspaper columns, but these advice segments, Heather McMahon does a hotline where people call in, and the Morning Toast girls do a Dear Toasters advice segment. So I thought, why not do our own Dear Big Sister? I would like to think that over the years, hopefully I've given you some good and probably also not so good advice. So why don't we just play into that cliche and ask a few of the questions that we got from people on Instagram. Thanks for submitting these. Some are hilarious and random, and some are more serious. And I don't know what Lizzie's going to ask, but why don't you dive into one? We'll just do like two or three.
Okay. I was going to say, when we were talking earlier, I actually got one question that is almost exactly what we were talking about earlier, but I thought we could dive more into it. Someone said, how do you deal with being compared to siblings? So I know we kind of already touched on this, but I think though, kind of what we said, that as much as we try not to compare to each other, that's just part of life. I think that, you know, you do compare yourself to others, and especially being a sister, a sibling close in age, especially to someone with mutual friends, people will compare. And I think that with anyone, not even just a sibling, but with anyone, you just have to look at, everyone has strengths and weaknesses. And if you look at it, you know, even like physical, emotionally, mentally, if anyone's better than you, quote unquote, it doesn't take away from your beauty, from your, you know, emotional intelligence, from anything. Like, just because someone else is really pretty or really smart, it doesn't take away from how pretty or smart or, you know, mature or anything that you are. So I think it's just really appreciating other people and being able to see that and just love them for what they have and their strengths and weaknesses, and realizing it doesn't take away from yours, that, you know, you still have strengths and weaknesses as well. And just try to look at it from a loving viewpoint and not be like, oh, I wish I had it like, you know, like this, like they have that, like I wish da 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 da, because, you know, envy, just that won't, comparison is a thief of joy. That's like the main thing that I'm getting at, I guess, is that, you know, it shouldn't take away from all your qualities.
So true. And just to piggyback on that, something I guess I've never really thought, okay, let me back up. I personally struggle more with comparing myself to myself than myself to other people. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like, it's easier for me to be like, okay, why at 31 don't I look the same or weigh the same that I did at 24? Because I've been there and I've done that. And then you have to kind of reality check that your body changes, life changes, circumstance change. Mm-hmm. But I guess physically, if we're going to just talk on that comparison side, it's just apples and oranges to me because I mean, I'm 5'8". I've always been like a taller, curvier person. I've always been of a somewhat of a certain size and stature. And you've always been really petite. And it's like, I physically can never shrink myself 4 inches and then remove parts of my body to look a certain way. Like no matter what I did, we would have physical differences. And so to me, it's like, you know, I want to be my best physically, mentally, spiritually, whatever for me, but I can never and will never have a totally different body. So what's the point of even comparing mine to someone else's? Mm-hmm. And that also too is, I guess we take that maybe differently than some too, but all the women, like we've always been stair steps. I've always been tall. Steph's kind of been in the middle. You've been petite. We've always kind of had our own builds and our own style and everything physically has always kind of been our own.
Yeah.
So that's like maybe not as hard. And then personality wise, again, like we were saying earlier, and like you just said, just really playing up each other's strengths and recognizing those strengths and getting on the same page to cheerlead each other through those.
Yeah.
I think that's a good thing.
And I think that's why a lot of the times that we do get along so well, because we are different in so many ways that we like bring out different, you know, like the best in each other almost. Cause like, you know, I've always been the one who can be more quiet and more reserved maybe. And then you and Stephanie are more outgoing, and that when we're all together though, that helps me bring, you know, be more outgoing. But I mean, I guess I have at some points compared myself and be like, why am I so bad at small talk when Sarah's so good at that, you know, and like things like that. But I realized that that's just not my strength maybe, but I can still learn, you know, how to work on that if I want to try to be better. You know, that's a small example, but stuff like that. But I think they can help bring out, help strengthen your weaknesses if they, you know, mm-hmm. if they're opposite. But yeah, really just cheerleading each other on and just knowing that you have your own, you're unique. Everyone's unique. And I think that's great. Just remember that to not always, you can't compare. No one's going to be the same. And there will always be someone better than you in something. So
yeah. And worse than you. I mean, like we know each other's different weaknesses too, but going back, siblings for the most part, I know some people have big age gaps, but if you are within like a 10-year or so spread age range of your siblings, then you have the privilege of remembering your childlike selves. And this is something I've just been diving more and more into, and I've talked about it on the podcast, and I've just thought about it a lot over the last year specifically, is there are parts of each of us that are really truly who we are at our core that have been there since the beginning. And sometimes society and our surroundings and culture can shift and change those because we think we're supposed to be a certain way or fit a certain mold. And these can be silly little habits, things that we've always, that were really there from the beginning, or they could be more big like characteristics and personality traits. For example, I was thinking about this recently. Over the last few months, I've started waking up earlier, and I don't go, like my morning routine is slow. Like I wake up slow. I like the time to make the coffee, maybe start a load of laundry, have a quiet time, go on a walk. Like I'm not, and I know not everyone has that leisure, but I also wake up early to do this, like 6:15. And I started thinking about way back when we were in elementary school and lived in the Germantown house still, I used to wake up early with mom and like sit there and just chat with her and like have that quiet time, so to say, to just like wake up. And I forgot I did that because I haven't done that since like 7th grade. And then I'm like, oh wait, yeah, I've always enjoyed this slow time of waking up without a lot of things to do right away. So I don't know. And then also just like personality types. I mean, I was leading class plays and writing newspapers on the playground in 3rd grade. Like there's always been some part of me that's loved this aspect of community and communication. So anyway,
yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it's cool seeing that, you know, firsthand growing up too, just how we've all like kind of kept that, you know, to who we've been since we were little. It's still there. It's still us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next question.
Okay. How to make friends in a new city. So this is something that I can, okay. So I have struggled with this because, you know, I've lived in, well, let's see. So we were in Memphis, and then I went to Mississippi State, which was Starkville, came back to Memphis, was in Birmingham on my own for a bit, back to Memphis again. And then a little over a year ago, moved to Nashville on my own. So I've had this, it's been, I've struggled with this a few times, especially with my career being a nanny. I don't have coworkers, but, I think the main thing, best advice I can get is to don't be afraid to like say yes and do things that scare you. Like I've had situations where I've joined, like in Birmingham, I joined a small group at a mega church, and I literally walked into this church of like so many people. I'm not good at estimating, but it was a ton of people. Just had to find this girl that I like talked with online and just like meet her. And it was so scary. Like I was genuinely like so nervous, but you know, that's how I met this person who met another person, and you end up, you know, meeting more people, creating your crew, and just kind of making your group and figuring out where you fit in and who your friends are. So just, you know, building your own community, I guess. But I lived alone in Birmingham, and one thing that has helped me moving to Nashville that I decided, I'll say, you know, that I can be an introvert. I do like my alone time. I lived alone in Birmingham, but I made sure I lived with roommates in Nashville. So I moved with three random roommates I never met, but it was the best thing because now my roommates are like my best friends here. You know, that's who I hang out with. Like, I think we're going to get dinner later tonight even. Like, that's just who I hang out with. So really just putting yourself out there, not being afraid to say yes to just hanging out with people, even if it might be awkward. Maybe you don't click. Maybe it will be extremely awkward, but you won't know until you try. If you're single, I will say, I think going on dates is always a good way to meet people because I've like, you know, gone on a date, then I meet their friends, meet their room, and it just leads to more people. So it's kind of that whole just putting yourself out there, really trying to find your community and people that are like-minded, and just, not being afraid to say yes and take chances.
So good. I'm going to leave it at that because I have a full episode that I'll link in the show notes, and it's 4 ways to make friends as an adult. And that's one of them, saying yes to everything and just putting yourself out there. And there's a few other tips and tricks. I will link that in the show notes if you're interested. Go ahead.
I was going to say, when I went to college, I remember you or Stephanie told me that you were like, don't be afraid to say yes to things. Like if someone asks you for like to a date party, all this stuff. Cause I was always more afraid to do that, you know, more awkward, more shy, I guess. And, I think that's great advice. So yeah.
Sounds like something I would have said. I overexerted myself. I mean, I did a pageant in college. I've never done a pageant before or since, but I was like, I'll just try everything. I was on Senate. I was the junior class president, and I literally did nothing, but I put myself out there.
Fashion board. I mean, that was really,
yeah. Fashion board was so fun. You and I both. Yeah. I both did that one.
That was great. Yeah. Good experience.
Okay. Let's do one more question and then we'll kind of wrap things up.
Okay. Do you still want me to choose one of my questions or?
Yeah. Well, I sent you the other ones too, right? You can ask for any of them of them.
Let's see. Let's do one more like serious one, I guess. Okay. So what to do when you grow apart from friends, when to know to let go. That's deep. That's a hard one.
Yeah. And I'm loyal to a fault. So I'm probably a terrible person to give advice on this, but I will say that I just think that you don't ever have to, I mean, sometimes if someone's really toxic and the relationship is really like bad for you and your health, mental health, well-being, that's a different scenario. That's something that needs to be addressed or really intentionally left behind. But then sometimes people just drift apart and different people are meant for different phases. And I think that sometimes you don't have to make it a thing. Like you can just still be their friend and you still love someone and literally still be friends. It's not even like an intentional, oh, we just drifted apart. It's just, you kind of do your thing and they do theirs. And, you know, you might come in and out of each other's lives for different chapters and you can still support them and love them from afar. I don't think you necessarily have to do anything unless, again, it's something that's really weighing on you and it's a toxic, because sometimes you don't ever really know, they might need you more than you need them. And you might feel like in your head, you're in different paths and you've drifted, but in their minds, they might really need a friend and they might randomly call you or text you and say, I really need to talk. And I really appreciate you being there. So I'm a fan of not burning bridges unless it's something that's absolutely necessary, and just loving from afar, even if you don't think you're as close as you once were, because that's fine. You can't really live your whole life with every single friend you've ever met being your best friend.
Right. That's just growing up. But I think, you know, both of us going to ECS, that's honestly like an ECS thing, that a lot of us have kept our closest friends, you know, mine since first grade are still my best friends. I was just in one of their weddings. Like, but even with that, you know, that was pretty much, I was friends with almost every girl I graduated with. And so obviously I'm not like best friends with all of them still. But yeah, just knowing that you're always there for each other. Cause I've had some, you know, we went to college, we kind of drifted, and, but you know, we'll come back and we still keep in touch. And I think if you really have that close relationship with someone, like you love them, then hopefully they know, and you just remind them, let them know that you are always there for them. You always love them. But sometimes I've had to do this, be like, but for my own well-being, I do need to take some space to myself. And I don't think, I mean, again, if it's toxic and it actually needs to be done to cut them out, that's one thing. But like, sometimes that's healthy. And I think as a friend, you know, I've had people say it to me that you have to respect that. Like, okay, I'll give you some space for a bit. Cause it's a relationship, even though it's platonic, it still is a relationship that sometimes you need space for a bit to grow and be y'all's best selves for each other. And I think that's okay. That's one thing as an adult, I don't get as offended if someone needs some space for me maybe, or like doesn't, you know, just need some time to kind of figure some stuff out on their own. I've learned that I've needed that, and I've had friends need that, and that's totally okay. But, cause if you love someone, you want them to be their best selves. And if they need to figure something out on their own, you know, away from you, then that's what they need. And just know that if they know you're always there for them though, then I think that's really good to know, for them to know, because I've liked knowing that when I've needed space, and my friends still know that, you know, they're there for me and they love me, but sometimes they have to love from afar.
Mm-hmm. So well said. Okay. Well, before this call cuts us off, because I randomly have a timer counting down on Zoom, don't know what that's about, but you know, this is coming. Speaking of well said, in your own words, Lizzie, what does it mean to live well?
Okay. So I thought of this. I think to live well is to live your honest truth. So, and in moderation, those are the main two things. So like for me, I've learned that, you have to be selfish to an extent to live well, because you know what's best for you, and it might not always be what's best for someone else. And you have to do what is best for you. If it's, you know, different moderation, be it in how you eat and how much you go out and how much you spend time with family or friends or alone time, everyone's different. And I've learned, you know, like I might need more alone time than some people, and that's okay. I just know what is best for me, and put up boundaries so people know, like, you know, this is my time, this is for me, and just be honest with it. And so, yeah, I think just living in the moderation of what is best for you and just being honest with yourself and others of what you need is the best way just to live a well-rounded life.
Lizzie, that was so insightful. I love it. Really, really wise. Thank you so much for coming on. This was really, really fun. I mean, we're sisters. Like I said, this was going to feel like FaceTime, really casual, but I think,
yeah.
I hope that people got something out of it. I know I sure did. And yeah, will you come back one day? All right. Sure. I love you. Any last words?
I don't think so.
Okay. I'll tag her Instagram and stuff in the show notes if you want to find Lizzie, but as always, thank y'all for listening. Have a good one. Thank you for listening to this episode of Wellbeing Well Said, the podcast. If you liked what you heard and you would like to support me, it would mean so much if you would subscribe to the show, rate and review, and spread the word. Tell your friends, tag me on Instagram, all the things. That really does help me grow and helps me create more content that I can put out for you all.